this one thing popped up that finally made it work for me is this, the gal who was my coach or strategic coach, you meet quarterly. She said this, she said, you'll know your unique abilities when you find the things, the list of things that give you more energy when you're done doing them than when you started. I'm like, oh, that makes sense to me. And I started making a list. And I wrote down a list of those things, but then I struggled because I said, these things give me energy, but why am I not working in that? Like, why is 80% of my time actually the opposite of that? And so same thing. I created something called the energy audit that actually helps you find the opposite first.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further.
Welcome back to another episode of Weiss Advice. I am your host, as always, on this fun-filled journey I like to call a podcast, Yona Weiss. And with me today, we got Trevor Mouch from Carrot. He is the host of the Carrot Cast podcast, which I was just a guest on recently. So go ahead and check that out. Awesome episode. Talked all about cost segregation and a lot of other fun stuff as well. But Trevor, how you doing today?
Yona, dude, I'm doing amazing. And like we were talking, tons of people hit me with feedback on the podcast that you had with me. So I was grateful for that opportunity. Pumped to be on a Weiss Advice with you.
Awesome. Yeah, this is a lot of fun. I love this opportunity to get to know people a little better and just kind of talk about different things that we're experts in. And you spent the last, a couple decades working in developing what is now a lot of different things, but Carrot, which is now an incredible marketing company. You work with a lot of real estate investors, a lot of real estate brokers, wholesalers, fix and flippers, a lot of people who are in the real estate industry, as we spoke about on your podcast. And I'm just kind of curious, like, how did you get to where you are now? Like, if you could sum it up in in 10 seconds or less. No, I'm just kidding.
I was gonna say, man, well, let me figure that one out. Dude, so I guess first set in context, where are we? So we're Carrot.com, a SaaS company, a software company that helps about 8,000 real estate investors, wholesalers, flippers, agents generate more motivated seller leads online. Now, they use Carrot also for buyers and tenants, but it's mostly motivated house sellers. Mm-hmm. If you were to Google like sell my house fast, insert whatever city in the country, you're probably going to find 3 to 8 Carrot sites controlling page one of Google in every city in America. Wow. So that's kind of our thing. But we're a team of about 50 full-time people remote. The answer to your question, oh man, how do we get here? I think the biggest thing, if I were to boil it down to a sentence or two, is really having an insanely clear vision for where we're wanting to go and like doing the thing, the hard things that need to be done to build a team, make the hard decisions that you need to make to stay true and clear on that vision. And number two, man, like we just went out there to say, what can we be the best in the world at one thing and one thing only? Like, can we be the best at just one thing? And if we're the best at that one thing, everything else doesn't matter. And that's what helped us grow to the point that we are and ink 505,000 lists 4 years in a row. And we'll see what continues to happen next.
That's awesome. Yeah. I recently finished the one thing, Gary Keller, which just kind of boils it down, right? You know, what is that one thing? And then you can focus on that and get rid of those distractions, hone in on the one thing that you can make a difference in. And that's awesome. You kind of found that. I think it's really important. Yep. Obviously, if you're running a company as you are, that is successful, making the Inc. 500, Inc. 5000 list and fastest growing, company in the country, one on that list as well. You need to have focus. You need to have a goal. You need to know where you're going and you can, having a great team helps you get there.
And dude, it's so hard, right? Like, so those of you guys and gals that are listening to this, it's insanely hard, especially once you get some level of success. Because if you find something that starts to work in your business, we all of a sudden think that we've got this Midas touch, right? Where we're like, oh man, I found this way to build the business to this spot or this revenue is coming in. Therefore, that also means I should take this opportunity. And that one looks pretty good too. And it ends up turning into, oftentimes for many of us, distraction. It leads to what I call the 3-year turn and burn cycle. And Carrot's really my first business that I did not do that in. I had 3 businesses before Carrot. I was done with them all in about 3 to 4 years. And we can dive into those topics if you want to. I just didn't run them correctly. And then with Carrot, I'm like, how do I just do it differently? You know, how do we build something that's based on purpose that really is built the right way from the start that can be around for a long time, but we can continue to reinvent the business within this existing business to keep it interesting, but not get distracted with new opportunities. So dude, that's a 2-hour conversation by itself.
Yeah, for sure. So how did you do that? I mean, was it with the help of, obviously, when you had those previous businesses, you learned from your mistakes and learned from those lessons, what to do, what not to do. But did you have any sort of like business coach or mentor or anyone kind of pointing you in the right direction at that point?
Dude, such a good question. So I didn't have a coach up until 2016, and Carrot started in 2014. I started as an entrepreneur in 2008. So there was a gap there where I was doing a bunch of random business things. Real estate is one of them. I'm a buy and hold investor, as are a lot of people here, commercial and residential. But then I had some online companies. And so for me, Yona, where it was in 2012, man, I was in a spot in my company where is a company that I had built that, you know, from the ground up, and I was building it for this vision of this entrepreneurial dream, right? Freedom, flexibility. I want to hopefully make an impact with it. And I remember in 2011, 2012, waking up, you know, my daughter, she was born in 2010. She gone to the babysitter during work days. My wife was working at that time in the medical profession. And I remember laying there at 10 o'clock in the morning one day when they were out of the house. I was supposed to be working. I'm just sitting there in bed looking at the ceiling going like, I don't want to do the work in the business that I'd created. I don't want to get up and do it. And from the outside in, everyone would look at me going, man, he's got it made, right? He has a business that's making good money. It wasn't making millions, it was making well into the six figures. Could pretty much control my time if I made the right choices, right? I could go on trips, things like that. And I mean, really looking back, I did have it all. Amazing family, good solid business. I just wasn't grateful. Yeah, I wasn't grateful and I wasn't clear on what I really wanted the business to provide. So in that moment, I remember I started to look at it and go like, what do I really want? And I created something I called my non-negotiables. And non-negotiables are probably the thing that really spurred on the biggest changes at that time. I sat down and I said, I heard a piece of advice from someone. I think it was before I was listening to podcasts. It must've been a YouTube video or something, or literally an MP3 file that I got somewhere on some of the computer. But the person said, oftentimes to find what you want, it's really difficult. But he said the easiest path to do so is write down what you don't want, write down what you don't like. And I said, I can write a big old list of all the things I don't like about the businesses that I've ran up to this point. And then I consolidated those things and about five of the things I didn't like the most. I didn't like that my income was inconsistent. It was an up and down thing based on the sales cycle. I didn't like that in general, I wasn't really having fun in business anymore. And I'm like, why am I doing this if I'm not having fun? I didn't like that I was unfocused. So like I said, when you start to be successful in something, you see this opportunity, I'm going to invest into that. I'm going to start this. I'm going to do this other thing. And I had four or five businesses that were all doing very mediocre. There's a couple other things in there. I didn't like that I was doing a lot of things that drained my energy that weren't within my unique ability. And so you flip those to the opposite. I'm like, these are my five non-negotiables. Every business that I ever run in the future will always match these five, or I'll change the business or I'll sell it. And those five things are focus on one big thing. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to try to find the one big thing and go all in on that. Another one of the non-negotiables is work within my unique abilities. Like, what are the things I love to do that give me energy that I could be really good at? Like, how do I work within that more? Another thing is have fun in my business. Another thing is build a valuable asset for the long term. You know, previously I'd be running transactional type of business that really wasn't building something valuable. And then the fourth one is build consistency, or the fifth one is build consistency and predictability. I'm like, I want consistency and predictability in my income. I want to be able to predict 6 months out within a 10% variance how much money I'm going to make, and reduce the stress and increase the predictability in my business.
Yeah.
And I had those non-negotiables, you know, and I was sitting there going, well, now what business model will help me best get to this? Will my current businesses help me do that? Let me really look at it and make the decision, yay or nay. And for me, I said, no, the current ones I don't think will get me there. And so then I parted ways at those current businesses, shut down two of them. One of them went out of business by itself. And then one of them, I sold my half of my business to my partner who wanted to take that business and make it amazing. And he did. And then I looked at those non-negotiables and said, I've got one small income stream left. It's this consulting I had on the side and some rental income, which I don't make money from anyway, because it all goes to pay for roofs and repairs and reserves, right?
Okay.
And so I looked at the non-negotiables and said, all right, what business model will help me get this consistent predictability, build an asset? And it ended up turning into software and Carrot. So that's a longer version, man. But the non-negotiables were the key. That was the nexus that really made that shift for me.
Yeah. I mean, once you get clear what your goals are, and I like how you put it, the non-negotiables, where you're essentially filtering out all the things that you don't want in order to get the good. And we all do that subconsciously, right? Everything that we do in life, but how many of you actually sit down and I make a list and know, you know, what is it that you're looking for? And you'll much easier, because we end up chasing all kinds of things and we end up chasing and choosing the wrong things because we forget about those non-negotiable things. And if we would just, and this really can apply to everything. I mean, you applied it to a business, but this can apply to so many different things in life. When you know what your non-negotiables are, you can make the right choices. And I think it's going to help to just guide where you're going in life. You know, if you're like, okay, I like the job that I have. And a lot of people listening to this podcast are, you know, employees and they have jobs and they enjoy it or they like it, or maybe they want to get out. They're not sure how. Well, are there any non-negotiables there? Like, can you live without a paycheck, right? Coming in.
Yep.
Can you make it happen? These are things that we really have to think about. And I love how you kind of framed it like that. But one thing you touched on, I mean, you are a real estate investor also, has that was always kind of something you were doing on the side, but has it ever taken form where you're just like, okay, let me do something like actively involved in this and let's kind of jump into that? Because now I know a lot of people, the reason why I ask is because most people who get into real estate do it from having income from other successful businesses that now they want to put into real estate to help that money grow at a better rate.
Dude, such a good question. Yeah. So my journey with real estate back in 2004, I was a junior in college at that time. And I wanted to go into real estate and wanted to be an attorney. Like I thought I did. And so I got 50% of that right. I couldn't get into any law school, flunked the LSAT 2 times, but I bought my first rental property. It was a 4-unit building by the college when I was a junior in college with literally no money. It's Carlton Sheets, right? Saw the infomercial, got the no money down course with just a credit card. And then I'm like, well, how do I now go use this? And so I got the first property that year, which was cool. And so since then, you know, it, like you mentioned, it was always kind of very passive. If an opportunity came my way that made sense, I would buy it. I wasn't actively seeking things out. I didn't have a process where I was sourcing deals all the time. It was just something, if something came across me and it made sense, I would get it. Airbnbs, vacation homes that would turn into Airbnbs, things like that. It wasn't until probably the last year and a half that I got serious about it, saying our businesses are doing really well and I would love to have some diversification outside of just my core company in long-term wealth building. Mm-hmm. Also, you can't touch and feel and mold with your hands software, right? It's bits and bytes. You can see it and you can type on it, but I want to be able to go to a building. I want to be able to go to a physical thing and also to be able to have things that are hedge against inflation, to be able to have things that can help with my taxes, tax write-offs, depreciation, really help with the tax situation. So it's about the last year and a half. We created a strategy to buy some buildings downtown here in small town, Oregon, Roseburg, Oregon. So we have an 8,000 square foot building that we're in now. We've been in here since 2010. Amazing historical building, cool spot. And then next door, we bought the building next door, which is another 6,000 square feet of retail and 2,500 square feet of residential. We're turning them into Airbnbs upstairs. And we're looking at other opportunities. So we're looking at that as community development, beautifying it, but also great investments and great write-offs.
Right.
And then the other thing, Yona, was going into this year, I said, how do I use my own software to get deeper into the real estate world and wholesale and flip? And so we have a 7-figure business now in year one that's using our software to go find motivated house sellers to flip and wholesale houses in 2 different markets. So for me, it's been more of a recent kind of thing.
That's cool.
And part of it's tax oriented. I want to have a physical touch on it. But also part of it is me saying, with our business, if we're wanting to be the best in the world at bringing in motivated house sellers that are off market deals, I want to have my hands in a business that I own that does that every day using our software. So that was kind of more of a, like, I want to eat my own dog food more.
That makes sense. I mean, and it's tremendous because who you cater to, it's a tremendous business model. You know, a lot of people are doing that, but not a lot of people really know how to do it well. Yep. So if you can build a business and then show people not only how to do it, but also, I mean, and that could be part of it also, but, yep. But, you know, provide them with the software that they can do it even more successfully. I think that's like a winning formula.
Dude, and it kind of goes back to non-negotiables too. So going into this year, I started to get really, you know, we're a team of 50 people now, like I mentioned. We have a full leadership team, and it's a whole nother hour or two podcast on all the decisions you have to make from solo operator to building a legit company that becomes an eight-figure business, right? And going into this year, I said, man, I really want to buy back more of my time to go back to my non-negotiables, to do more of the things that I love, more of the things that are my unique abilities that give me energy.
Yeah.
And running meetings, creating process, stuff like that is not it. Yeah. And I was kind of getting caught up in a lot of that. So that was part of it. I said, what gives me energy, man? I want to do more of this. I want to create again. I want to use our tool to go do what our clients do. I want to create content with that. I want to create a business. And so we did. And rather than getting distracted, creating a business that's completely separate from the software company, I said, I still want to have that influence and build the one big thing, going back to non-negotiables. What is that? What if I built a business that literally is the business our clients build, and I can use that to make our product better? I can use it to create content. I can use it to build my knowledge around the pain points our clients have. And I'm like, that's the best possible distraction business I could have to build something that actually helps the core business.
That's amazing. And it's been successful.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do seven figures this first year. We started in April and we're having $100,000 months already, and we're only a few months into it.
That's incredible. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And so even more so, it's important to have those rental properties where you can get the depreciation, because that income is taxed at a very high rate.
Dude, big time. And that's what we're seeing the other side of. It's really interesting in this market right now, where the people we're selling to, we have three hedge funds in these markets. They're buying in, you know, 14 to 16 markets. Those three are, they gave us all their criteria. And right now there's probably an 18 month to 2 year time period, this window, where the hedge funds are really buying heavily in these markets, because they're looking for what you're talking about. They're looking for cash flow, looking for hedges on inflation. They also get the big benefit of all these massive write-offs and depreciation when they're buying at scale, right? When they're buying, you know, $500 million of real estate in a year or 18 months period. And so we're starting to look at that and learn a lot from those hedge funds that we're selling to, and go, man, they know a lot of things. How do we borrow some more of that, you know, models that they're using, and keep some of those properties rather than selling them all to them?
Yeah. And you learn a tremendous amount with who you interact with and who you deal with. Mm-hmm. Learn those processes. That's great. You mentioned something like kind of in passing, just about, you know, what those certain types of activities that you don't like to do because they kind of drain your energy. Like, I don't think a lot of people are really too in tune with, you know, we talk about things that are draining our energy or things that are giving us more energy, besides for like, you know, I'm not talking about caffeine and you know, things like that. I'm talking about how you can know what activities you're doing are energy focused or positive energy focused or higher energy focused. And it may seem a little bit like ethereal a little bit to some people. If you're listening to this, we're not talking necessarily like metaphysics. We're talking about, you know, everyone has physiologically and psychologically things that help us to function better.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You've created something, I think I heard on a different podcast that you were on, about the energy audit, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Dude, so this goes back to your first question about, did I have a coach or a mentor? So the first mastermind that I joined, and he was kind of like a de facto mentor, a friend of mine, Greg. And this is in that period, you know, where I wrote my non-negotiables. I didn't know what was next, you know, with my business, but I knew that there were some people out there that I really looked up to that seemed like they had figured out what I had not figured out yet. They'd figured out how to build a business that gave them their time back, that gave them freedom, that they were interested in. They had great home life balance, at least from the outside in, right? And there's this guy named Greg, and Greg started this mastermind. It was the one and only year he ever did it. Like, he shut it down after this year. So I was almost like, oh my, it was you made for me, which, right. I know it wasn't, but it felt like that. And one of the things that Greg told us in the very first session was, he talked about your unique abilities. And there's a coaching program called Strategic Coach, a guy named Dan Sullivan, amazing entrepreneur coach. He created that program. And one thing that he really talks a lot about is unique ability. Is, are you doing the things that really fire you up a lot. And so I literally joined this mastermind and I joined Strategic Coach for a year to find what my unique ability or unique abilities were, because I couldn't figure it out. Because the advice that I would hear so much, and a lot of you listening to this probably hear the same advice, is you know that you're doing the right things, or you know that they're your, you know, your superpowers or whatever you want to call them, if people say you're really good at them and you get paid really well to do it. Right. People say you're really awesome at these and you get paid really well to do it. Do more of that, a lot of people will say. Mm-hmm. And that's what made me miserable in my business, Yona. I did more of that. I got really good at writing email copy, making offers, and doing all the marketing execution. I got paid at that time pretty darn good money to do it. And people would always say I'm good at it. They'd hire me to do it for them. And I'm like, well, this is probably what I need to do more of. But I would sit there and go, at the end of those days, I'd be drained. I would put off those projects for days or weeks. I really didn't want to do them. And I would go just mess around with other stuff. And so I started looking at with those non-negotiables and I joined that program. This one thing popped up that finally made it work for me is this, the gal who was my coach or strategic coach, you meet quarterly. She said this, she said, you'll know your unique abilities when you find the things, the list of things that give you more energy when you're done doing them than when you started. I'm like, oh, that makes sense to me. And I started making a list. And I wrote down a list of those things, but then I struggled because I said, these things give me energy, but why am I not working in that?
Yeah.
Like, why is 80% of my time actually the opposite of that? And so same thing. I created something called the energy audit that actually helps you find the opposite first. I wrote down all the things I do in a given week that drain my energy. And it could be anything, business, life, everything, right? You know, I don't like showing up to meetings that are set up a certain way, right? I really love strategy that went on the energy give column. Okay, line down the middle of the paper, energy gives in the right side, energy drains in the left side. Strategy, going to the whiteboard and blowing on, you know, just writing it, a strategy, but then I want to leave. Like, I don't want to execute it then. So execution made it on the left side, which is energy drains. And there's a whole list of stuff, checking email and like all those things. I looked at the list and I said, okay, this is great. I've recognized what drains my energy and gives my energy, but how do I change it now? And one of the things I remembered someone saying was, well, what's measured can be moved. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, well, let me get at the bottom of that sheet. And I'll give you guys a URL. You guys can get my energy audit sheet free. There's no opt-in, nothing. I just want you guys to use it. But at the bottom, then I said, well, let me write my percentage on an average week of how much of my week is these energy draining activities versus how much is these energy giving activities. So at that time, I was like 70 or 80% energy draining. Wow. And no wonder I wasn't liking my work, right? Like, no wonder I wasn't wanting to get up in the morning to do the work I had created because it was draining the crap out of me. And I just wanted to do anything but that. And so I said, well, how do I change this? Now I know that it's flip-flopped. And what if I could switch it over the next 1, 2, 3 years to 70-30 energy giving versus energy draining? Because I think that's probably a good ratio. Anything over 50% energy giving is actually going to be a good thing. The further up you go, the better. I don't think any of us can spend 100% of our time in energy giving, but 70 or 80% is a good target. So I would circle the one or two things on the energy draining side that drain my energy the most, Yona. And one example was I did not like writing blog posts. It drained my energy, but I was really good at it. Like, literally, that's what had built Carrot even. Okay. It was written long form blog posts ranking well in Google. And you look at it, go, how can I stop doing that? They're like, that makes my money. And I'd spend 10 hours a week on that. And then there's checking email and I spend like 15 hours a week on that or whatever it is. It's 25 hours a week. And you look at that and go, how could I get rid of that 25 hours or most of it? And I look at the other side and go, I love strategy, but I don't like writing. What if I could find someone who writes good, but I could lay out the strategy for each blog post with them? So I did that. And then you make your first action items that quarter to get rid of the energy drainers. And then as soon as you get rid of those by documenting a process and how you do it and handing it off to somebody or just saying no to it, just saying, I'm not going to do this anymore. You gain back that 5, 10, 15, 20 hours a week. You go to your energy gives column on stuff that gives you energy, especially stuff you're not doing. Like what if working out gives you energy? Mm-hmm. Amazing. You need to add it back to your schedule now. What if doing a podcast like this gives you energy, but you never did it before because you have no clue how to make money?
Right.
That was my example in 2016. I'm like, I love talking to guys like Yona, but I don't know how I'm going to make money doing this. And I can't stop writing blog posts because that makes me money. Well, I found a writer to do my blog posts. I created a process where I could plug in and do strategy with them once a month. I loved that. It gave me energy. And then I said, I'm just going to use part of that time to create a podcast. I don't care if it makes me money. I just want to do it because it gives me energy.
Exactly.
And I was thinking, well, if I bet on energy, my idea is, if I bet on energy and do more things that give me energy, I can probably master those things more and I'll probably enjoy them more. And maybe my business will grow farther. And it did. Over the course of 18 months, it switched from energy drains 80% to energy gives 70 to 80%.
Wow.
And my income went dramatically up. Happiness went way up, the whole thing. So guys, go to carrot.com/energy, carrot.com/energy, get the energy audit worksheet. No opt-in required, just get it. And then do it quarterly. 15 minutes a quarter could change your life.
Wow. That's incredible. I'm so glad you shared that. I'm so glad I asked. But it's something that is, you know, I think everyone needs that. Whether you know it or not, just do it. Like I said, and we're going to put that in the show notes just in case you didn't hear what that was. carrot.com/energy. What's the, tell me, maybe you get this question asked to you a lot, but where did the name Carrot come from?
Yeah. So in that time, you know, same thing, going back to the non-negotiables, I wanted my business to be fun. And so I thought my next business name is going to have something we can brand. We can have some fun with it. And that popped in my mind, like, you know, Apple, it's just a fruit. Right. Not trying to compare us to Apple. But before that, I was thinking of all these company names that were like, you know, an Aboriginal word that, you know, like Kajabi as an example, great company name, but I looked it up, like, what does Kajabi mean? Maybe I can find my own Aboriginal word that means something that matters for our business. I couldn't find anything that hit. And after probably 10 or 15 business names that were not hitting, and number one, I had a few criteria. I wanted it to be interesting, that we could brand and have fun. I wanted the colors of the thing to be non-normal for our market. Okay. Not a color that everyone uses. Number three, I wanted it to be to where it could be used for multiple industries. So I didn't want the word real estate at all in the business name, because what if we expand out of that? Mm-hmm. And then it popped up in my mind. It's like, what should a website be? Most people treat a website like a brochure where you just like, hey, here's some stuff I do, check it out, and hopefully you reach out to me. And the way that we've approached it, because of my background, I always approach it from performance. Your website should actually get someone to grab your offer and do something.
Right.
And so I said, a website should actually be a carrot. It's like you're like dangling a carrot in front of them. They should go bite it. It shouldn't be a brochure. I'm like, ah. And so I looked up all the domain names. Best we could find at that time was oncarrot.com. And we had that domain for 4 years until we acquired carrot.com a few years ago, moved over to that.
That's awesome. That's a great story. Mm-hmm. And I love the thought that went into the brand, because a lot of people don't give enough thought into the brand. Like you said, they'll just like give some like random name or some long kind of form thing. And, you know, whatever it is, and you know, it may stick, it may, develop over time, but the thought process that goes into the branding is always an important one. So appreciate that. That's a good one. I'm sure it has multiple meaning also beyond that.
You can do all kinds of crazy stuff with it. Like, this is one of the things, we send out thousands of these dolls every year. So we've got like Super Carrot for those of you guys watching the physical, the video version. We've got Agent Carrot when we went into the real estate agent market. Coach Carrot, but my kids took Coach Carrot's pants off, so I need to go find them. And then we've got Farmer Carrot here. We've got Carrot Gal and some other ones. We're going like, how do we have fun with this? So we send thousands of dolls out to customers. When you hit milestones of doing a certain amount of deals or revenue, you get Super Carrot. We swag the heck out of stuff, and it's just fun. So it's helped to kind of create the brand ethos here at Carrot.
That's awesome. And it is fun. I love that you do that. That's really makes you stand out also. So I want to transition now to the segment that we call the final four. These are four questions I ask all of my guests. And the first question to you, Trevor, is going to be, what is the worst job that you ever had?
Dude, the worst job that I've ever had was honestly the one that I created that I had talked about. I did construction in high school and college. I did landscaping. I actually kind of enjoyed those. But the worst one that I ever had was that one I created. And it was the worst because I had this vision that was the opposite of what I ended up creating. And it almost kind of wrecked my hope that entrepreneurship was real. Like, the dream of entrepreneurship setting you free was real. And it was just this mirage. And so at the same time, I'm very grateful that happened, because now it set the foundation for the change and transformation I was able to go through in the coming years.
Absolutely. And any good lesson, you know, most people who give their worst job, it's usually a lesson that comes out of that. Not everyone, but most people. Some people, it's just, you know, hard physical labor for whatever reason, but or fast food. That's very common. We get either people or hard physical labor or fast food is like their first job in high school or whatever. It's just like the worst.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
But Second question we're up to is, what is a book you've read that's given you a paradigm shift?
Yep. I'm going to give you two quick ones. One of them connects back to the non-negotiables and the one big thing. So read a book in that same period by a guy named Mike Michalowicz called The Pumpkin Plan. And The Pumpkin Plan, I mean, you guys and gals can go Google it. Go Google like Pumpkin Plan PDF or Pumpkin Plan first chapter. You can read the whole first chapter for free. And here's the reason I'm saying any of this. I never made it past page 16. Like literally, I got to page 16. I read what I needed. I'm like, oh my gosh, it shifted in the way I thought about things. And I shut the book. And I told Mike that, but I've given that book to hundreds of people. It's impacted me so much. And because it helped me to focus. It helped me to take through this analogy he uses on page 16, the way that the giant pumpkin farmers who win like world record biggest pumpkin prizes, how they grow these pumpkins and how it relates to business. And all too often we end up growing, planting a bunch of pumpkin seeds, and we have vines with tons of leaves on them, 15 different pumpkins on them, but they're all small because we have all the energy going to all these different spots. But as soon as you start to trim off the leaves and trim off the least promising pumpkins, you've got two or three left. And then you see that one that looks like it's going to be bigger, and then you ruthlessly trim off every leaf, every other pumpkin. You see, you have one left. So all of the energy, all the nutrients goes to that one. Now that one pumpkin just blows up. And so I saw that in my own life. And that's when I trimmed off everything. I trimmed off my other businesses, hobbies and habits that didn't serve me. And I said, I'm going to focus on one business now. And that became Carrot a couple of years later. So the Pumpkin Plan, the next one actually is fresh on my mind for scaling a business. You know, we're well into the eight figures a year now, and it's hard. And so one of the biggest tools that we're using is from a book called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. And it's this amazing pyramid. If you guys have a team and you have leaders on a team, that pyramid, I'm bringing it up four or five times a day with people, just popping it up. They're going, cool, if we're not getting the result that we want, let's go down to the pyramid and figure out why. And so Five Dysfunctions of a Team is the latest paradigm shift.
Very cool. Yeah. I mean, obviously, as your business grows and as, you know, from beginning, inception, right, all the way to where you are now and continue that trajectory, you obviously have to use different resources and find different things. And like, I love the reason why I ask paradigm shift, it's because oftentimes in life, we just have to change course entirely. And the only way to do that is to get new perspectives that we never even knew were fathomable. And that just can change everything.
Dude, and the big paradigm shift early on with the Pumpkin Plan, right, was I think we all adopt this mindset of a serial entrepreneur is a good thing. It's a sexy thing, right? You see guys like Elon Musk or Richard Branson have all these big multiple businesses. And we think, well, if they can do it, I can do it too. And you can, but here's the difference. They aren't running those businesses. Like Richard Branson doesn't run. He's not the CEO of the 800 businesses or however many he owns. Elon Musk, by title, is CEO, but he doesn't run the businesses functionally in the day-to-day. He's the visionary. He's the guy driving things forward. Mm-hmm. And so that's the big thing that I think a lot of us in our early entrepreneurial phase have to get over is running multiple businesses is not a good thing. Owning multiple businesses is an amazing thing if you're not running them. Right. So that was a biggie for me.
That's huge. No, absolutely. Third question for you. What's a skill or talent that you'd like to learn?
Man, so I'm going to go completely non-business on you here. So let you guys and gals in on a little secret. So I'm 39 years old, and going into this year, I didn't know how to swim. Like I'm talking like legit, couldn't swim the length of a pool, couldn't tread water for 20 seconds, could not swim. Live on a house on a river. We have a swimming pool, and I've got three young kids, 6, 8, and 10. And so coming into this year, I'm like, that's the thing that I've been carrying forward every single year. These limiting beliefs and just hadn't figured out. So you kind of sock it away over here and you don't figure it out. And now my kids are old enough, they're bringing friends over. And I'm like, I do not want to be the person who cannot save a loved one that's in the water. And so my why got bigger is what it was. So I've learned a lot this year. I can swim a length of a pool now. I can tread water for 4 or 5 minutes. But the skill I want to learn is I want to learn how to swim in open water for a mile or more because I want to do a triathlon soon.
Oh, cool. Wow. Yep. Oh, that's awesome. I'm sure you've got some good coaches helping you through that. You know, you don't learn necessarily on your own, although you could. But I faced the same thing, right? This summer, this recent vacation, I had some of my younger kids that, you know, never learned how to swim. And I, you know, thank God I did. But it was fun. Yep. First time ever helping them, like teaching them how to swim, you know, giving them some like first lessons. That was a lot of fun. So
that's awesome, man.
But yeah, fourth and final question for you is, and I'm sure we touched on this a little bit already, But if you just sum it up, we ask, what does success mean to you?
Yeah, dude, the biggest thing for me, and it's evolved over the years, you know, I think early on success was like, what do I want to achieve in the outer world? Mm-hmm. What I really look at it now is who do I want to be on the inside? And so if I were to really boil it down, success for me is when the person that I want to become and the person that I am are the same person. And I think at times we kind of stretch ourselves and there's habits and disciplines that we don't have yet. But you know, at the end of my life, I want to look back and say the person that I had the potential to become and I wanted to become is pretty much me. And for me, that's a successful life.
That's awesome. That's boiling it down. I mean, that really is what it's all about, right? Living that life that's fulfilled and not having any regrets and being that person that you want to be. And not having any limiting beliefs like right, holding you back from getting there. So I appreciate that. That's an awesome perspective. And I know we mentioned it already several times, but we always ask anyways, where can our listeners find you or what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Yeah, Yona, go to carrot.com/energy and get the darn energy out because I want to see you guys using it. And then hit me up on Instagram. So this is trevor.mauch, M-A-U-C-H on IG. DM me. Like I want you guys and gals to use the energy audit and hit me up and say, this is the insight I got from it, or this is how it's impacting me. DM me that because that fires me up. Or you guys can find me on the Carrot Cast. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever you want to look at, Carrot Cast. Every Thursday, we roll out what I call a Trevor Truck Talk. It's literally recorded on my cell phone on my drive home to my house. It takes 15 minutes to get there. And it's like the stuff we're talking about here. How, like, what am I going through mentally as a father, as a husband, as an entrepreneur scaling a multiple eight-figure business, the struggles. And then the Tuesday ones are from real estate investors, how they're scaling up their businesses. So check it out.
Awesome. We're definitely going to check that out. We'll put all that in the show notes, make sure everyone can reach you or find you in any way that they choose. And this has been a lot of fun. I appreciate you spending the time with me today.
Yeah, and dude, I appreciate you having me on here too. And you have some amazing guests. So I'm honored to be a part of that group and just love what you do. And thank you for the opportunity to hop on with you and your audience today.
No, it's been my pleasure. And I look forward to continuing, watching and viewing, I guess, you know, your journey, like the Carrot Cast. And, you know, what you're doing is obviously you're going to keep going on that trajectory. So I wish you a lot of continued success.
Awesome. Thank you, Yona. Thank you guys and gals. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
And to all our listeners, remember till next time, the best advice comes only when you ask. Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn. Send me a DM, a connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.